Hey, hello. This is the San Carlos Computer Club podcast. If you have any interest in the San Carlos Computer Club, check us out at sccclub.org. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. If you have computer support issues anywhere on the internet, why don't you get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. I am the sound engineer, producer, guest host of these meetings and recorder of this podcast. Today is March 12th, but I'm actually 2 days behind schedule. This is the recording for the San Carlos Computer Club meeting of March 10th, 2020. We had a lot of great topics, good meeting, and this is what follows.
Well, they might be hooked up to the restaurant, but where we're located is a very difficult place to get the restaurant signal, especially with mobile devices. And so now it should be on. I just connected to it. And we're streaming. There we go. I think we might be up. Oh, I'm in the wrong position now. Dun, 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 dun.
You got 3 minutes.
Yay! That's what I need. I need at least 3 minutes.
Oh, no. Come on. You've got to go through the... Oh, the sound's not working.
Testing.
Testing. Camera's not working.
I think I did all that.
No. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
You have the blue screen of death, by the way.
No. Don't talk like that. No, that's one of our fears right now. Is the blue screen of death for this latest Windows update?
Oh, it's coming back. It's going to be green this time.
The latest Windows update is resulting in things that include a blue screen.
Really? That's kind of nostalgic, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know anyone that feels that is like a warm flashback to the past. Yeah.
Why is there an arrow up there?
I don't know anybody that's... We're on. We're streaming. And all I need is a go live button, and we're ready to go. Oh, it says we've got an excellent connection. That's amazing. Who knew?
You didn't have any trouble at the border, right?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, sort of. We went to immigration right at the border. We always go to that one and just make a right turn.
Right there, that little.
Yeah. Because you don't have to go to Bandercito.
Yeah.
You know, and if you go to Bente Uno and go to Bandercito, you might as well bring a lawn chair because you're going to be there for an hour.
Definitely what I've been here.
So we go there, and she takes my passport with my new stamp for Residente Temporal. And does her magic on the computer and gives it back to me. Then Peggy, and then she says, uh-oh. She says, you have to go to secondary inspection for Peggy. So she's typing away, picks up the phone, calls somebody, hangs up, does a little more, and then she picks up, you know, like, who do I call next? And they said, Mexico de F.A. She had to call Mexico City to resolve Peggy's problem, whatever it was. So we were there for an hour. But other than that, it was
awesome. How about going north?
North, we were about 15 cars from the gate.
What time did you get there?
Well, we left Thursday morning, got there wrong. Thursday's a good day.
There's only 15 cars between me and the border. I got there yesterday.
It was 45 minutes.
Well, that's interesting that there's probably a bigger lineup in the morning. Then.
You went up to the States yesterday?
People stay Thursday. Overnight. At Thursday? Closer to, you know, Magdalena or something.
And your wife's name is Peggy,
yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of people stop there. A lot of RVers stop there.
Are you tracking
it's
him?
It's a horrible little park.
We're up and live. Live and rolling.
Coming into Mexico, I don't know how the RVs do it.
I think I have.
Oh, I know.
It's tight.
It is very, very tight. You know, the mirror is Carolyn. and I were inches on either side. Yeah, I remember that. And she thinks I'm going to hit on her side, but I
can't you fold your ears back?
No, we're old fashioned.
No, you need one of the new ones. You just hit the button.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Well, you know, in
that's a good button to have.
Land Rover and all those things, that, because in England, those lanes are so narrow. Yeah. They tuck them in.
I had a guy I worked with that bought a Toyota 4Runner or something, and he was showing, it was like 15 years ago, he showed, oh, the mirrors, they'll fold back in. And I said, what for? He says, well, when you're out in the woods, you can fold them in. I says, you're kidding. This goddamn thing's never going to be off pavement in its life. He's, well, maybe. He was still happy. He was happy with his fold-in mirrors.
The first time I went to Ireland, a woman friend, and we pulled out of Shannon Airport, and the first road was narrow and lined with rock walls. And she knocked the Reynolds side mirror off. But I'm driving, Judy.
Good start.
That's it, I'm driving.
I was driving around there, you know, because you're on the opposite side of the street, so it's a little bit complicated to try and make sure you're not hitting it. And I was thinking, oh, at least it's hedges, you know. Like,
yeah.
But then we stopped somewhere, and it was just like ivy on top of a stone wall.
Stone wall, yeah. The other day, we were when the Castaway kids had that volunteer dinner party.
We pulled in. The only cars we could get were stick shift.
This big white truck pulled in behind me. So here's Terry Lynn's car, and me.
That's one of the reasons we hit the wall.
And Cheryl said, well, we've got to find out who that is. I looked at him. Ah, I think I can get out of here. So I had about that much on each side of the mirrors going out of there. But
Did they still do that?
Yes.
Do they still do that?
Oh, I don't know if they do. I know my hat, my three-quarter ton, they come in. They expand out and in for, but.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm ready to go. Do you mind if I start?
Where are we going?
We're going to self-quarantine in tequilas for the next hour for the San Carlos Computer Club meeting.
Yay.
We've all chosen to be here, regardless of the virus threat. Thank you for joining us. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solution, and I have not had a coronavirus test, so I don't know if I'm contagious or not. So I'm happy that you guys have decided to show up anyway. I have no reason to think so. I've not been to China or Washington or Italy. But anybody that has, I would really appreciate it if you didn't attend our meeting for at least 2 or 3 weeks after you get back.
Just don't cough on me.
That's right. Don't cough on me.
Don't touch me.
That's a great picture.
Look.
Wash your hands.
Stuff stays on surfaces for up to 12 hours. Keep that in mind. And really, I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen is that it's just going to leave this younger generation to take over this mess we left, if anything.
This is what came up. These were the options.
Probably silver something. Holy water.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, silver.
That's just somebody joking around and having a call calling their.
Well, outside of my casual introduction, we are starting. I have come, as usual, with a slight agenda of topics that do not need to be addressed at all. If people have things they want to talk about, if they have topics that they've brought, problems to solve. Mike, I see your hand waving in the air.
I don't believe it, but I'm starting to think that the weather has something to do with my internet.
Really? How long have you lived in San Carlos? The weather always has something to do with your internet around here.
I noticed since that big rainstorm, it's been breaking up like crazy every night. And they haven't done that for about 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And then it kind of cleared up Friday and Saturday, and now it's back again.
You can pump the water out of your house.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah. Or out of the tuberia that brings your line to you.
I'm sorry?
Well, somewhere you've probably got this tuberia, this conduit.
Yeah. It's open to the moisture.
Yeah, and it may have filled up with water. You know, that used to be, well, actually, I think it's still an ongoing problem at Loma Del Mar with their phone lines.
Actually, Maggie's had a similar problem, right? Yours mm-hmm. was breaking up, too?
My internet?
Yeah.
But Maggie's had weather problems with internet in the past when we've had big wind storms and they've whipped the phone lines, and they're still there. There's still a signal, but somebody's got to get up there and tighten all that stuff back down. Yeah. You should get on it immediately.
I'm going to. Yeah. The final fourth, the March Madness starts this week. I am on it today.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I'll probably leave it here.
Mike's going to go from fixing his internet to rating who's got the best internet for.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, remember they have 30 to 40 megabits a second in this restaurant if you're desperately looking for a place.
Big TV.
Well, it still goes down at 9. It breaks up.
Yeah.
That part I can't.
I was having severe internet problems over the holidays, which is very reminiscent to when we used to do dial-up connections. I'm fairly convinced that we are oversold out in the Ranchitos, and we're fighting with each other for bandwidth. I can't.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Well, not here. We got great internet here. We got great internet in the Bahia. Well, okay, sometimes you got great internet in the Bahia. But some of these fiber optic links are really nice. They're really stable and reliable. But I think that what they need out in their in my area, in the Ranchitos, I think what they need is they need a new switch to allow for, because they don't have any phone numbers for anyone to begin with. So you can't buy another phone line. And consequently, if you can't get a line, you can't get internet. I think that they need to put out another switch so they can provide capacity for all those people.
Now, when you sell your house, does your phone go? Does your phone number go with it?
You got to terminate.
Well, that's interesting because I've been here 24 years, and when I first got here, you sold the house with the phone line, and many times that phone line would stay in the previous owner's name for years. Right, and it became very difficult for them to keep track of who the new owner was, so they finally lightened up and allowed people to switch them over into their names. Mm-hmm. We're kind of entering that same phase. Telmex has got to get some pressure put on them to upgrade their infrastructure, which is what they did before. All of a sudden, we had phone lines. You could have 3 phone lines in your house out in the Ranchitos because they had so many lines. Hmm. But really, now there's been so much more demand, they need to rebuild that infrastructure, put out more lines. And until then, I think you're going to be selling your house with your phone line.
If you keep it going all the time, mm-hmm. if you don't keep it going, you have to change phone numbers.
Well, Bob, you know, we've gone past that. We're at a point now, like in my area, if you don't keep it going, when you come back, you may not have a phone line.
Yeah.
That's a number either.
That's where we are right now.
The other thing that happens is when you pay your bill, mm-hmm. they turn off your phone.
Right? Yeah, and they look forward to that, I don't think they personally look forward to it. I think as an organization, they look forward to it because then they get to sell another phone line. And so they're not trying to work with you if your bill's late. They're like, okay, now we can sell that phone line to somebody else.
Is internet like a multiplex switch that samples each line as it goes around? I know it's not a mechanical switch, but electronic switch.
You mean like, is it putting things on hold while other things are going?
It's service this one, and then it serves this one, serves this one.
What they use is a router, and a router has a memory to buffer communications that come and go through the wires. And so as long as the equipment is healthy, everyone should get internet. It's just time consuming. So everybody should get a shot. And so what I think is going, first of all, I think that they've got a piece of equipment out there that's failing, because that's not the case. And there are times I've seen this where you go out, you ask for something, it's coming down, and then it just stops. And that's inappropriate behavior. I mean, it's one thing if it slows down, but if it just completely fails, then that's a whole different kind of problem. If everything's working healthy, you go, you ask for something, it starts coming at you, and you're just waiting for it. And
if it's mine, I have to run it continuous ping and show them that, okay, it would enter every so often, it would be dropping for like 5 seconds, 10 seconds constantly.
Yeah.
It's just like you and I. We get old. Before you see it.
Say again, Bob?
I said it's just like you and I. We get old. And modems don't last forever.
Well, just the use of internet right now, what they could have done is they could have put out a switch. This is what I imagine is going on, is they put out equipment when they deployed it years ago, and it was perfectly adequate for the amount of internet use that we were generating. But now we've got 16 devices in our homes, whether we think about it or not, that are all accessing the internet. And some of them are accessing it 24/7. The amount of strain we're putting on that equipment isn't appropriate for the equipment it is. It's appropriate for 10 years ago. It's not appropriate for where we are now. They need to upgrade that infrastructure. And they probably won't until it's, you know, struck by lightning. Or somebody that works for Telmex buys property out in the Ranchitos. And that's what we should really be lobbying for, is we need somebody in government or in Telmex owning a lot in each one of our areas that we're complaining about internet. Mm-hmm. You do?
Yeah.
Wow.
How's your internet?
Well,
there you go, QED.
What I'm saying.
Internet here in Mexico is still better than in Tucson.
Well, it depends on your area of Tucson, but yeah.
In Tucson.
Yeah. You're generalizing all of Tucson?
I'm generalizing all. We have fiber optic in Tucson, and still, it's better down here.
That's interesting.
I have to disagree with that.
Yeah. My daughter's in the foothills.
What? My daughter's in the foothills.
Yes.
The gentleman who sells the fire stick.
Good. Every now and then goes out.
I do not know them.
You go.
I've heard of him, but I don't know.
It doesn't matter if you know him or not. But he said that you didn't need a DNS proxy for most of the channels on the fire stick.
I would imagine that's true. Yeah.
Yes.
Just his particular fire stick, or any fire stick?
Any fire stick or fire TV.
Well, wait, hold on. Fire Stick 4K, you cannot take advantage of your Amazon Prime genuinely in Mexico because it's region locked to the United States. And the only way to take advantage of the 4K is to have to use bootleg programs like Kodi and Streamio. But
Cinema.
Use smart DNS.
Right,
what was the other one?
Cinema?
HD. But you cannot use Amazon content on it, which is ironically
I can't get Amazon Prime.
It's not very intuitive, and I went round and round with Amazon customer support, but they finally told me that the 4K stick is not sold in Mexico. It's region locked to the United States. You can pick it up and you can go anywhere in the United States and use it, but if you leave the United States, you're not going to have access to Amazon content. And this is very frustrating because Amazon has a collection of content intended for you when you go abroad, and you have no access to that with this. If you have a 4K stick, you cannot get it if you without the smart DNS. The smart I would look at your smart stick 4K and verify it's a 4K smart stick. Because they're...
It is, I've got the same thing.
The 4K smart stick.
Because of the VPN, I assumed that was why.
The VPN is why it would work.
Yeah.
And I've seen it successfully work with a VPN. ExpressVPN works great. Netflix, Amazon Prime content, it thinks it's in the United States, all the things that are available through the Fire Stick 4K, but without the VPN, no, you can't get access to that.
Because
I'm not talking about your smart TV. I'm not like that was the thing I told Amazon at the time. I think this is ridiculous. This is your product. I can have access to this content on my Xbox, on my smart TV. It's no problem. I've got a knockoff Chinese TV box, the Android TV box. Amazon Prime works great on it. I have no problems. I pay for Mexican Prime, so even if it was an issue of what I have, there's a whole collection of content that I'm allowed to have access to. But only through the international Fire TV stick. The Fire Stick, international stick, can be used in Mexico. But the 4K cannot be used.
Scott?
Yeah.
How many people here use a VPN?
Oh, I think there's a number of people. Yeah.
I didn't tell
that. Not that many.
Well, I was like four. I mean, we're a big group. There's only about two-thirds of us here.
I don't use it anymore. I had it and gave it up.
Yeah.
Which one is the good one?
You don't need it.
Which one do you
need
have?
It.
I don't know.
Yeah, if you don't need it, you don't. Yeah, I mean, it's all about what you're requiring from your experiences. I mean, there's been this resurgence of people using VPNs probably in the last year, because of the amount of geofencing that's happening right now with credit industry. And so the geofencing in the credit industry, you've seen it yourself because you have banks or credit cards or you have friends that have banks or credit cards they cannot deal with while they're here because they're in Mexico, whereas they used to be able to do that stuff. They can't anymore. And it's because they're in Mexico. And there's no way around it except for a VPN. Yeah, I mean, we're familiar with talking about these VPNs for TV. We joke that sometimes this is the TV club. But this is another genuine use for VPNs is you can't get access to the social...
We have a question. What is a VPN?
Oh, it's a virtual private network. And for our terms, what it just really means, it's a service that allows you to appear as though you're in the United States.
It's a cloaking device.
So we could get that.
Well, yeah, there are a number of VPN services, and if you talk to us, you'll find there are VPNs people prefer. It's really more about what you need it for, what your use is. Okay. Yeah, most of the services.
Just for TV?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
for
yeah, for a VPN service, it's about $10 a month. If your only concerns are TV, there are some services out there that would work as well, like the Smart DNS Proxy, which is $5 a month. It's not a proper VPN, but they do have proper VPNs available if that's what you need. It's all about what you're trying to accomplish and appearing as though you're in the United States.
Pandora. You can't get Pandora down here without.
That's right. Yeah, you can't get Pandora. In fact, on the Fire Stick 4K, it will continually offer you content and services that you cannot access without a VPN. Yeah.
Well, the other thing you should mention is the VPN is encrypted, so it's a security.
Yeah. I mean, really, the location hiding is a byproduct of the actual, and VPN's legitimate service was providing security on the internet. And so what you end up doing is creating this tunnel between you and this point in the United States where it's considered impenetrable because it's encrypted. And so outside of that tunnel, all they can see is that end in the States that you appear as. So it gives you a level of security. There's a real argument for having a VPN as you travel, because you can go into any coffee shop and turn on your VPN and feel protected from anything that might be on that same Wi-Fi connection.
Speaking about security, if you have a website, you're supposed to have HTTPS and the security that goes with that. But if it comes up as this website is not secure, how do you go about procuring that security?
Well, this is great. This is actually one of my topics today. Because, and I don't know if you're looking at the screen, but I have finally migrated over to Microsoft To Do from WhatsApp. You guys heard me rant about how they were going to shut down, not WhatsApp, but Wunderlist. Wunderlist is one of my favorite apps. It's in my workflow. I use it for the computer club all the time. And Microsoft bought it, and they've been saying they're going to shut it down since the day they bought it. And I've been complaining about it, and people are going to complain. They took the Wunderlist team. They've been building the new to-do. The new Microsoft to-do list has been crap up until recently, and now it's beautiful. It has every feature that I use from the other app. I have migrated over to this app in less than a week. My whole workflow is undisturbed. I'm doing everything the way I expect to do it under Wunderlist. It's Microsoft to do, and it's finally ready.
Now, does that work for every website?
I'm sorry, I'm getting questions from two sides.
How did you manage to get Wunderlist into to do?
They have an import.
I know, and it doesn't work. At least I can't get it to work.
It does work, but the first time I used it, I have a number of organized folders of to-do lists. I have a to-do list for when I leave to go back to Alaska. I have a to-do list of all the things that have to happen to the house before I leave. I have a to-do list for when I show up in Alaska, for getting the house turned on and everything ready to go. I have a to-do list for what I pack so I can keep track of how much I've brought with me and how much I've left behind. So they're all to-do lists in folders, and Microsoft To-Do did not support folders beforehand. And when I imported, it made a mess because I've got a folder of old computer club meetings. So I got like 300 lists that are supposed to be in one folder. Now they're all over my to-do list. I was infuriated. I went to Twitter and I complained to Microsoft To-Do about it. And they're like, oh, we know, but if you can clean all that up, we just fixed that.
Oh, there you go. Thank you so much.
And they assured me you could clean all that up with Outlook. And I didn't want to admit to them I didn't have a copy of Outlook. And so I spent the next month cleaning up without Outlook. I could have asked one of you guys to let me come over and use your Outlook. I could have multi-selected and deleted them, but I had too much pride because I don't have a copy of Outlook right now. So I did it all manually. And I imported them less than a week ago, and it went seamlessly. It was beautiful. Everything I brought in was exactly the same way it was, and it even gave me because I have the computer club and I have the bed and breakfast, and I've been using Wunderlist, computer club, bed and breakfast, my personal life and my business life. It even gave me suggestions for the lists I share between those accounts, and allowed me to send the invitation over to the other account and get the other accounts set up. So my computer club account is set up. My walkabout town bed and breakfast account is set up. We're still sharing all the same lists. It worked exactly the way it was supposed to work, which was not my experience the first time I did it.
I'll keep trying. I try about once a week, and it open up, sign into Wunderlist, and start importing or whatever. It won't even open Wunderlist for me. I have to actually go to the app.
Well, if
I did get a zip file, but can't open.
Okay, well, if you go, the way I did it is I went to do on the web. I think it was to do. In fact, I got it in front of me. Hold on a second, because I'm using it right now. I'm using the app installed Windows 10, but this should be the website from Microsoft. It's todo.microsoft.com. And then under, I got no secrets, so you guys are welcome to follow me along. Over in the corner is my account. Let's see, where did I do this? Is that where I did it? Those are all Microsoft services. Is it under my profile? No, that's my Microsoft account. In here, they have the import, damn it.
Somewhere.
There we go. Under settings, right at the top, it says import from Wunderlist. And you hit the import button, and it asks for your Wunderlist account. Now, the only thing is my Wunderlist account was signed in using my Google account.
They don't like to talk to each other.
No. Well, Microsoft owns Wunderlist now, so they've tolerated that. But Microsoft To-Do does not like that. As far as they're concerned, this is your Microsoft Services account. It's completely separate from the Wunderlist account that you had before. And so I had to create, well, in my personal account, I already had a Microsoft Services account. But in the Computer Club account, I had to create a new Microsoft Services account that never existed before so that I could move all this stuff over into Microsoft To-Do. But it did work. It worked seamlessly.
How do you use this Microsoft To-Do? Like, what if you didn't do all the things every day?
Well, it's just a checklist. It's just a checklist.
So then does it go away?
Yeah, that's what I love about it, is when you checkmark an item,
Like if I had this on here, hold on a second, let's do this. Talk about Wunderlist. Okay.
That wasn't really my question anyway.
I know. We're getting to your question. I'm sorry. See, I've got it right there. Talk about... Oh, I spelled talk wrong. Talk about Wunderlist. Done. Off the list. It will... Oh, I'm on the web. It'll take a moment for it to disappear. I can refresh
it. But if it disappears, you forget what you did.
Well, it keeps...
He's not that old.
It does. It keeps a history.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can delete a task or you can check it off.
It's the old guy list.
Checking it off is really nice when you share lists. I share lists with my wife and with my parents for the bed and breakfast. And they can go to a list and see the things that have already been finished.
I want the olive oil. Oh, I want the olive oil.
Right. Exactly. So I'm very happy to be using this new program, and I'm happy I was able to transition into it in less than a week. It literally was like 4 hours of just refamiliar. There was no refamiliar. You know what's new in this is that there's a whole section of stuff that didn't exist, like my day, things planned, flagged. This is an interesting thing that didn't exist in Wunderlist. Can you see that column on the side? This monitor sucks. Can I?
The little down arrows.
Yeah, let's see if I can get it in your view. There we go. So you can see the left column. Everything that comes in under Wunderlist is right here. It's under the thing that says tasks. Those are all my checklists. Nutella ice cream. And then these things above tasks, these are all new that we didn't have in Wunderlist. Except assigned to you is something we had in Wunder's list. So if I'm in one of my other accounts and I say Scott should have this on his list, it'll pop up right there. And this flagged email thing is new, where Microsoft's spiders are going through your Hotmail, through your Outlook.
Oh, good.
And when you've been asked to do things in your email, they show up here to be potential items for your task list. So I had somebody ask me about videotaping the Riscate melodrama, and that was instantly added to my list of potential tasks. I didn't create this item. They pulled it out of my email for me. So they put it in front of me and ask, is this something that you want to have on your task list?
They just said, would you tape?
Secretary.
Like, or how did it get to know that it was a task for you in the email?
Oh, in the email, it was addressed to me with the subject line, videotaping the play and Olios this year. And so this program, not this program, Microsoft Services, just like Google Services.
It's an AI assumption.
That's right. It's gone through, and that's a very good answer, Ray. Thank you. That's exactly what happened. A computer program is gurgitating through my email and goes, hey, this looks like something for a task list, and is stuck it on my app saying, is this a task that you're going to do? So anyway, all of this was to introduce the task list that I'm using to answer your question, which is one of my topics today.
And how is that different from the
Outlook? What was the question?
Actually, it's very similar, except they don't synchronize. There's a new to-do in Outlook if you have the latest version that's a seamless, from what I've been told and what I've seen pictures of, a seamless synchronizing of this individual app and one that's available through Outlook. But it doesn't, it's not a seamless exact copy in the Outlook task list.
Because I really liked it, I could set it as a monthly or an annual, like for birthdays, to remind me of somebody's birthday every year. I just set it for an annual.
And there's this section in To-Do that I have not played with yet called Planned, but it's add a task for a date. And so I bet we're going to find those kinds of features under that. Anyway, back to computer topics. Your question was about security certificates.
Yeah.
It was when you approach a website and it's telling you that you don't have HTTPS.
It's not secure.
It's not secure.
Right.
Now, your web browser is built to do this. You go to a website and you don't have encryption between you and the website. Up where it says the address of the website, there's typically a lock or some indicator of a lock, and that lock will have failed. And it'll have like a line through it, or it'll be colored red or gray.
Whereas if it's worked, it'll be green. It'll be like a padlock sometimes, and it'll be green. And that area that I'm talking about, to the, and I'm doing this gesture because it's because I forget we have a monitor up here where I can show it to you. Maybe. This monitor is so bad. There we go. There's the lock I'm talking about right there. This is in Chrome. So you can see a padlock is locked. That indicates that between me and my to-do list is encrypted. And none of the traffic on the internet could look inside what's happening between me and, in a perfect world, that would be the case. This lock you can always click on, and it gives you details about that encryption. A lot of information most normal people don't have to worry about. If there was a line
you're running
through
a website.
Yeah, if there's a line, you're running a website,
yeah,
and you want to get that lock on?
Yeah.
Okay, that is a very complicated topic.
40 minutes later.
Okay, I'll go home and take a course.
What I would recommend is do not host your site without encryption as part of the reason you bought the hosting. If you're hosting a website...
The site is actually on GoDaddy.
So what they're going to do is they're going to charge you to add encryption to it, and they've priced it fairly high.
Or is there a better site? I saw a encryption site the other day that said that they did not
encryption is for
it
free.
Would be included.
There, yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Which ones are included?
Is well, I couldn't give you a list of all the ones because I don't know all the ones, but I've switched over to DreamHost. And I've done it specifically because of this encryption issue. Because the hosts that I had around the internet wanted to charge me a ridiculous amount to add encryption when encryption is free on the internet right now.
That's what I was
so
about it.
DreamHost makes it very easy to add encryption to your website and to do it for free. They've got there are a few circumstances out there where you may want to purchase encryption. More corporate endeavors may want to do that. But for all of us that just have little websites that...
Well, this is for my daughter's business, so...
Yeah, so I would still trust Let's Encrypt to encrypt that. You have a lot of questions to answer when it comes to encryption. But what I could say is if you've got a website that's more like a flyer, if you're concerned about getting found in the search engine rankings higher, then Let's Encrypt Free is the best option. If you're doing commerce, where is your shopping cart? It may already be encrypted, so you don't have to worry about it. If there's no shopping cart, again, free Let's Encrypt would probably be fine for you. You don't want to roll out Let's Encrypt by yourself without somebody like me. Let me finish that thought. Unless you use a site like DreamHost where they've got a one-button solution. If you're trying to implement Let's Encrypt by yourself on an old host, it's very painful and has to be done regularly. See, it is the reason I moved a bunch of websites over to DreamHost specifically because of this issue. Because it was going to be painful and expensive.
You say it's free, but it's included. Is it more expensive?
Is DreamHost more expensive than GoDaddy?
Well, DreamHost has a whole different approach to the way you do websites. It works for me because I don't get concerned about how much content I have up there. I don't have to worry about how many domains that I'm hosting. All I have to do is pay for the new domain. I can just suddenly I've got a brand new server with that name, all the same services I expect. So for me, that's a lot. With DreamDaddy, it's each host has its own deal going on. Either you're buying a name, you're buying space, you're buying services.
It's like a la carte or the whole meal deal. Kind of thing.
That's right. Whereas what they've done with DreamHost is you pay for space. And then you can use that to allocate everything. You can allocate each one of your websites on it, but if you need different names, then you purchase those names. You can manage all those names all under the same account. Because I've got a number of sites that I'm dealing with. And so very quickly that became less expensive than using a host like GoDaddy. And I haven't used GoDaddy since they're privacy problems.
I didn't set this one up. So I set up a second one on there.
How many people here have a website?
Okay. There's one behind you too, Bob.
You use it because of artistry, right?
No. Well, actually, yeah, I do have another website.
Okay.
Right.
Why would you have a website?
I think what would be better is for us to move this into how encryption is affecting all of us right now today. Because this is a topic, your topic is a more specialized topic, and I can talk to you more about it outside a group of one. But it does bring to mind that there are websites out there right now that are telling you that you're not satisfying encryption. And instead of blocking you from accessing the website, it's encouraging you to install an encryption certificate, which is something that you should never have to do. There is never a circumstance where you would need to provide the encryption yourself when you go to a website. And I'm talking about you go to Hotmail and it says your certificate is expired. Here's how you can install the latest encryption certificate. And that's why this is an important topic for all of us, because this is what you could stumble across, Bob, and you could be feeling like everything in the language, the dialogue, reads like you're doing the right things, but you're wrong right from the beginning of assuming that you're in charge of getting that certificate installed. Your certificates are installed by your operating system, Windows 10, or your browser provider, like Chrome or Firefox. And so you are not required to install certificates, even though there have been times in the past where there's been these workarounds where people like me have taken responsibility for doing. Normal people never have to take responsibility for that and should never be asked for it on the Internet. And that's your first clue that you're dealing with a compromised website, is they're asking you to do this task that is not your task.
The reason I talked to somebody about establishing a website, but I was in business, and I determined that it was not reasonable to have a website at that point, and right now I would never consider a website.
I'm sure everybody has had an opportunity at one point or another to look at my website. It's atrocious. It's a launch pad for a bunch of stuff at one time that was thought important to this community. If anybody has any suggestions for what would be more helpful for my business for a website, I'm open to them. Please send me emails. Let me know what you, if you were to go to my website, what kinds of things would be beneficial to you. Maybe it's scheduling an appointment with me or being able to contact somebody immediately. I don't know what it is. And I'm playing off your theme of you don't need a website. I feel like I need a website because people need to be able to go somewhere and see that I exist on the Internet.
You're in business.
That's
and,
right.
And the bed and breakfast is in business.
See, the bed and breakfast is very good utility with the bed and breakfast website. It's a promotional flyer and the ability to make a reservation. And so that's very justified. It's my own computer business that's very difficult to figure out what that website's supposed to do, except go, hi, I'm here. This is more helpful than hearing my history. I mean, you might find it interesting, but it's not helping you with it. And so what I've done is I've just dumped a bunch of stuff I thought might be useful to anybody in San Carlos that stumbles across my website. Please. I think you have a very good point.
You could have frequently asked questions, for example, on a website, and then that saves you from
having to say those things again. What is a VPN?
Yeah, but
everybody in here has asked that question at some point. What is a VPN?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to really generate traffic with it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, if anything, I'm trying to generate business, which is different from traffic, right? I mean, business isn't the website.
If you're trying to generate traffic, there's some topics you could put on there of general interest to the whole town, and then everyone would know your business.
Yeah, that's definitely an approach.
Like, what is this site they're clearing around town? Eliminate all the rumors. It would generate tons of traffic if somebody ever did things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, what I don't want to be is I don't want to be an internet reporter for San Carlos. I have no goal to make money off of my website. The goal of my website is to make people aware that there's a computer shop in town.
Yes.
Scott, you know, this is interesting. A website.
Can we go back, Bob? I hate this stuff. I just want to finish off with this encryption thing is real. That's what's brought us into this website topic. If you go to any website and it's advising you that your encryption's out of date, back away from that website because it is compromised in some way. There is a legitimate encryption issue when their certificate has expired and there's nothing you can do except ignore it. And the problem I'm talking about is you following through on something. The ignoring is just going onto the website without encryption, which is a perfectly legitimate thing to do, and you're welcome to call me and read me the message, and I'll tell you whether it's a legitimate message or it's a compromised message. I will help you with that. But the reason this is an issue is because people have seen that before. They've gone to the website they always go to, and it says expired certificate. That's the website's problem. And the only choice you have at that point is to come back later or to continue to that website by acknowledging you know the error, by saying, I want to go anyway. These buttons will be in your browser. Mm-hmm. All of that's legitimate, and you're fine to do that. The other problem that's happening right now is instead of that procedure, it's saying your certificate has expired. Do these things to get a new certificate. And that is wrong. That is compromised to begin with. You should back away from that website immediately because who knows what that website is full of right now. It may not even be the website you're trying to get to. It might be a redirect that's taking you off to another website that's messing with you right now. And that's all I have to say about that topic, and I will take it off my list. And, Bob, I'm happy to talk about websites again.
Well, this is nothing more than a message machine. In other words, you can deal with it in your time frame. I don't know how, when you ask a question on the internet, how they respond so fast. Whether they have a machine that's answering.
Who's they? What's the question here?
You ask a question when you want something on the internet. You ask a question. They oftentimes will ask you, what do you want?
Google something?
And so,
when you Google.
Yes.
You're talking about Google.
You Google it. Now, when our daughter passed away, we became aware of a website that you could go to, and friends could go to it. There's been several deaths here recently in San Carlos. And people actually do not want to talk, the family doesn't want to talk, when something happens to somebody in their family. But they might get 50 phone calls. They might get 150 phone calls. And this website in Minnesota took those things and gave you a list of people and what they had to say. And I thought to myself, that really is helpful.
That's interesting. So it's like a message. You dial into it.
It's basically a message.
Yeah. And they'd leave their message, and then the website would transcribe it.
And then you can get back to them or not get back to them.
Yeah.
And you can just turn your phone off. But basically, a website is nothing more, as I understand it, is nothing more than a message machine.
Well, yeah, I really don't know what point we're trying to make with this, but... But websites can be various things. Right now, a website has to be mobile friendly. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a number of websites out there that if you go to it on a desktop computer, it almost is nonsense. It's got very little content. It's almost broken at times. And the reason is because it's never meant to be viewed through a PC on your desk. It's meant to be viewed through a phone in your hand.
And or vice versa sometimes.
Right. Yeah, there are some websites that are not mobile compatible.
Right.
Like mine. Right now. All my other websites are mobile compatible. But the one that is not generating business, the one that's my business website, is not mobile compatible. Every year I set forth to make a mobile compatible version of it. I've got a dozen different versions. And I keep leaving the old website because I'm never satisfied with it.
Is it on your list?
It's on my list. It's,
but he can't find it.
It's on my list. No, I see it all the time going, damn it, I still haven't done that.
Priorities.
Yeah.
There it is again.
There it is.
How do you prioritize your list?
Remember a piece of paper stuck to the refrigerator.
Oh, that's you know? How you do it.
Yeah.
Move them up.
Yeah. You do know the piece of paper stuck to the refrigerator. There is stickies in Windows 10. Sticky notes.
The old tape thing. You know.
Yeah.
The post-its, the virtual post-its that come with Windows 10. I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but one of the last updates put them in the cloud. And so now you can take all your post-its from one computer to another computer just by signing into your Microsoft services.
But what about that OneNote? Does that really
hate it?
Well, OneNote is you don't like it?
No. But I don't know how to use it well.
I think
it's a matter of learning to get through it.
Yeah, OneNote at least goes to Apple and to Microsoft.
To-do does as well.
To-do does as well?
Yeah. Okay. To-do does as well. In fact, you'll be hard-pressed to find a Microsoft product right now that doesn't go across Apple as well. They are so focused on being everywhere. That Windows gets forgotten about at times because they recognize that Android is much more important than Windows. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen developments happen on the iPad, on the iPhone, and on Android phones happen quicker than developments on Windows 10 because they've refocused. Windows 10, you know, Windows 10 is still for free, whether Microsoft wants to admit it or not. They're happy to have you on their platform. Windows 10 will be the easy feed into whatever online services that they're selling, but that's where they're making their money, is online services. They want you in OneDrive. They want you in Office. They want you in Azure, which people aren't familiar with, but they're going to become much more familiar with because that will become a branding name that we're going to hear from Microsoft. And I won't be surprised, at least in corporations, what they're going to start selling is a complete package. They're going to sell you the computer, the operating system, and the services you use on it, all with one price per person.
The mobile device, I was under the impression that everything that was on the internet that came to me on my desktop also went to my wife on her phone. And you're saying no.
Well, I think we're making a distinction between two different concepts. You've probably got email that's synchronizing here that shows up over here as the same thing. Whereas what I'm describing is going out to a website online that was specifically intended to be mobile viewed, but they weren't concerned about it being viewed on a computer. Which is kind of the new norm now. There's a whole slew of development. If you wanted to see this, go and try and look at Instagram on a computer. It's doable, but if you're using Instagram, there's all these features that you get that are not there because it's intended to be used as a mobile app. In fact, you could use a browser plugin. This is an interesting thing as well. You can install a plugin into your browser that will allow you to switch your desktop view to a mobile view. So when you've come across one of these websites, that it becomes apparent, wow, they really built this to be used on a phone, this plugin will let you hit a one button and switch it over to a phone. And so you're sitting on your desktop computer looking at the website as though you were looking at it on your phone, but you're using a big screen.
I'm really confused.
The plugin, I would Google it. I know it exists for Opera. Opera is based on the Chromium engine. Everything's based on Chrome now. It's Google Chrome, Opera, Brave. They're all the new Microsoft Edge. They're all based on the Chromium engine. So if you can find a plugin in one like Opera, undoubtedly that plugin exists on these others. Opera actually has a plugin to allow you to use Google's Chrome Store for plugins. So if they haven't put it in the Opera store of plugins, you can install a plugin that allow you to get it from the Chrome Store. Okay.
Every time I have something figured out, there's this whole new world opening up, but the other things I have to figure out.
Right.
So I've got this article on the encryption, and I'll put that on the website if you guys want to. There's pictures of what you would see, and you can see if this message you get is a legitimate message or not. But I want you to leave with this idea that if you're being asked to install encryption, then you're doing it wrong, and you should stay away from that website. It should be harder to move forward on that website. It should really require a lot of reading and authorizing for you to get into that website. And most normal people, I'd say, just stay away from it. They'll have it solved in 8 hours. They'll have it solved by tomorrow. So why even take the risk? But if it's easy for you to install encryption, then that's the key, that this is the wrong website to be on, that this is a compromise. It should not be easy. It should not present itself as though you're able to do something about it. Okay. And I do have other topics right here if people want to hear more of me blather on about the things I find important.
Yeah.
Apple has changed its 13-year take on sanitary wipes because of the coronavirus, and they are now saying that you are welcome to use disinfectant wipes on your devices. I didn't even know they were concerned about this. To be honest with you, if you had an Apple product, it has had a disinfectant wipe over it at my shop. I have to tell you, I didn't even know Apple was worried about this in the past. Many times a device shows up at my office that has never been wiped before. There's something difficult about getting into a project that starts with your finger sticking to the keyboard. And so I have to tell you openly, if you've brought a project to my office, it has had a disinfectant wipe wiped across it. We've never had a problem with it. We typically use wipes. We use soap wipes. We use Just Soap. We typically get them from Costco. They're the Kirkland wipes. They typically have a little bit too much soap in them, so we will typically wring them out before we use them, or we'll go over them with a paper towel afterwards, especially on the screen, because it will leave a little bit of a soap residue. And we'll use a microfiber cloth to polish out. Microfiber cloths are very easy to find. You can buy them at Walmart. You can buy them at AutoZone. But what Apple is saying, apparently Apple would never allow anyone to use disinfectant wipes because they're afraid of hurting the finish on the screens. I've never experienced that. I've never had that fear. But I'm also not aggressive with this stuff. I get fingerprints off. I don't want to take off any kind of finish that's on there.
And you're not using the alcohol wipe.
I will use alcohol wipes for things like fingerprints and spatter that won't come off of a screen. I'll use a solvent like that. They've been saying for this virus it needs to be 70% alcohol for it to kill the virus. That's any rubbing alcohol you might have in your cupboard. I make this stuff for my shop all the time. I mix it with water and use a spray. Don't spray directly on equipment. Spray on the rag that you're going to use.
I mean, microfiber.
Yeah, the microfiber. Make sure you can wash microfiber cloths. Make sure there isn't anything in it before you start wiping it down, because you'll transfer that. You might even damage your screen if you've got something on the cloth to begin with, so just use a really clean cloth.
That's why they have plastic keyboard instead of metal so you don't get electrocuted.
Well, yeah, for wiping down, yeah. For sweating profusely, right. Above your device.
That's why they have a silicone film that goes over your keyboard too.
Yeah, that you know, in this case, I bet there's going to be a resurgence of popularity for those, because you can take it out and you can throw it in the dishwasher. And that's really what we need to be doing right now. I bought the Clorox disinfectant wipes at Sam's Club. I've used them forever on electronics. I've never had a time where I wished I hadn't done it. I mean, I've never gone, oh my God, I just ruined the screen. I've never had one of those experiences. Again, I wring them out because they have a little bit too much soap on them. I've got a procedure with my kids right now. It's like every day you come home, you wipe down all your devices with one of these rags. Yeah, because of this coronavirus thing. The important thing to realize is we only have 6 cases in Mexico because we're not testing. It's the only reason there's only 6. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason there's thousands of cases in South Korea. It's because they figured it out. they've got drive-through testing facilities. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
It's like going for a Big Mac, but you go to find out if you've got the coronavirus.
Italy's the same way.
Well, Italy's lost.
Too many good news.
Well, the good news is you won't hurt your iPhone by wiping it with disinfectant wipes.
Hallelujah.
I've got to go meet your wife in the living
room. Okay, well, apparently my wife's a better draw than I am. That's the story of my life. That's been the case. Okay, I got another topic for you guys.
Oh, good.
Apple has agreed to repair the screens of the third generation iPad Airs. These are, if you've bought an iPad Air somewhere between March and October of 2019, at any moment, and they said this, it could fizzle out with a flash and a flicker before completely dying.
Like a light bulb.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to be related to any kind of update.
Or virus.
Just standard use. You could be reading the Wall Street Journal and enjoying your coffee in the morning and experience a flash, flicker, and fizzle out of existence. But they will fix them for free.
You have to take them to the Apple Store?
Yes, you have to take them to the Apple Store, of course.
Make an appointment. Where they just happen to have a new model.
That's what they always tell
you. What that means to this group,
even if it's like 2 years old,
don't buy any secondhand Apple Air iPads. That's what it means. It means that right now on eBay, there are iPad Airs going at discount prices that were produced between March and October, and even though they will be fixed for free, you don't want to be relying on a piece of equipment and get down here with it fizzling out. So that.
Because they only do this for the original owner.
Oh no, they'll do this for any of these products. All these tech companies look at these problems as a product problem, not a customer problem.
But you have to get to an Apple store.
You have to get to an Apple store. That's the problem. Apple store. That's the problem when you're down here. But being a second owner won't be the problem. Yeah, it's very much like when they have a car recall. It's like, doesn't matter who owned the car. What matters is the problem exists, and it's their responsibility to fix it.
How do we figure out whether we have one of those or not?
Did you buy it between March?
I don't know.
When did you buy
of
it?
This year of 2019?
Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. If it's before 2019, it's not a problem. This is a very small, limited. That's why I said this isn't going to affect your equipment. This is going to affect your purchasing decisions. A lot of people are looking for discounted products. This is going to be a deep dive in discounted products right now, because there are people that are just getting rid of them. But Apple will fix them. What else we got going on? More bad news. Windows 10. Stay away from updates right now. Yeah. Stay away from updates.
What about if they're automatic?
Well, they are automatic. Yeah. But we've talked in the past about being a normal person and being a seeker, which is Microsoft language. Microsoft language is you are a seeker. If you go into updates and check to see if there's updates.
Does this apply to Windows 7?
No.
It's Windows 10.
Bob, nothing applies to Windows 7 anymore. The answer to that question is always going to be no. Unless you're asking, am I vulnerable to security problems? So, don't be a seeker. Don't be that person that's looking for updates. If you are that person, stay away. It will offer you a cumulative update, number two. It is KB4535. Now I need my reading glasses. 35996. That number represents a slew of problems that people are having right now, which include not being able to boot up their computer, blue screens of death, slowdowns in videos, slowdowns in video gameplay, and removing it doesn't seem to be fixing the problem. So, don't be a seeker. Is the best. Most of you. I'm shaking my finger at Jim. And Dave. I know the seekers in this room. You have been forewarned. I am holding off installing it until I hear good news about it.
They haven't fixed it yet.
They have not fixed it. There are some very specific problems in Visual Studios, so there are developers that are building Windows programs that are dealing with problems right now because of this update. Microsoft has given them a time frame of mid-March having it fixed. But they are talking about the Visual Studio problems, not this random chaos that normal people are suffering from game players to office workers. They're talking specifically about a problem that's affecting developers, and I think what it really is it's a dozen problems with this latest release, and it has to do with their quality control and the way they're testing these things right now. And right now, you are the biggest beta testers of Windows software. That's the problem.
So if we go home at the end of the month and turn on our Windows program, computers. Will it be okay by then?
At some point.
Because it's going to update. We know that.
I was going to say, at some point, it doesn't matter your question. It's moot. Because it's going to update anyway. And hopefully, they've sorted all this up by the time it does.
So is there any place where we can find out whether they've sorted it out before we turn them on? Because we don't have to. I still have my Apple.
Well, if you don't turn it on, then you're not using it anyway.
Well, that's true, but we haven't turned it on for 3 months, so I'm saying...
Now, you might have a lot more updates to deal with than just this last one. Here's what I've been doing with my systems, and I think you should do with your systems, is I think you should run your disk check all the time. Like once a week, make sure that your disk check is healthy, your scan disk. Make sure your antivirus, which is Microsoft, it should be the Microsoft Defender. Make sure that that's a green check in it. If it doesn't have a green check, that means it's turned off. That means it hasn't run a virus scan recently. I encourage all my customers and you folks to have an external hard drive that you're running backups on, and make sure your backups are up to date. And if you see these updates being offered to you, use the system in the latest that allows you to postpone it 7 days. And just keep you can not indefinitely, it feels like indefinitely, but you can continue to go into settings and postpone 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, and you'll be able to postpone it until Microsoft finally says, this thing works and everybody's getting it. That's the week you're not going to be able to postpone it.
Which Tuesday do they update? It's once a month,
it's
right?
The second Tuesday of every month. And again, if you're not a seeker, all this is probably going to happen without you having to do much of anything.
I'm not a seeker. Does this apply to Windows 7?
Scott, can you read that number one more time?
Yes, it is KB4535. 435-996.
It's up in the top corner there on the right.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's just hanging under the... Yeah.
Have a good one.
You too.
You want the frames?
I got it right here.
Sorry, taking you.
Nope. All right, everybody's heading out. We are over like we typically are. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, new face.
Say that again, I'm sorry. Oh, you can, or we can set an appointment. I'll come see you. I'm seldom in my office.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just such a, I brought it here. Well, what happens? My husband has it.
Well, why don't you give me a moment to shut down our meeting? Okay. I just want to say goodbye, and we can talk about your device.
Wonderful. I just didn't want to take your time here.
Yeah, no, it's not a problem. Any last questions? Anybody see something on my list they wanted to make sure I said today?
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you have a computer, laptop, or anything you're willing to sell? I think my stuff right to one of the secretaries. I'm so sorry. One went out last year. She's still waiting for a replacement. Another one went out yesterday. They don't want a 2-year wait for it. They need a laptop or something.
Do they have a monitor? Because I've got a desktop computer I just finished building that I'm going to hand off to somebody. It's got Windows 10 authorized on it. It would be a good backup computer for something like this, but I don't have a monitor to go with it.
I don't know if they do or not. Yeah. Do you mind popping in up there and seeing what they have?
This is the commissario?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll
try to make a point to get over there. I'm just rushing around today, but maybe I'll get over there tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'll ask them, but I can't remember what they have up there.
Yeah.
I'll go up there myself and I've got no idea. I'll send you a WhatsApp if I find out.
Okay, yeah. Because I sure don't, I mean, I need to start just handing off some of the, people hand me computers to recycle all the time. And
so
they
when
get,
you say hand off, you're going to give it to them?
Yeah, I just give it to them. What have I got invested in it? I got nothing invested in it. I put a hard drive in it that's out of, that I would never put in a computer that I was going to use. Not that it's a bad hard drive. It's just I'm SSD for everything now. Yeah, it was a Vista computer. I've forgotten his name. He sits here. He gave it to me because he got a new computer. And so I stuck a hard drive in it from a laptop and put Windows 10 on it and authorized it with an old laptop sticker that was Windows 7.
And
I was actually going to hang on to it because I can get this video card in it, one of these big, beefy video cards. I'm like, look at this. This computer is almost 10 years old, and I'm going to be able to play video games on it. And the card needed its own power supply. And I'm like, well, I can do this on my laptop at 60 watts, or I can do it on that thing for 600 watts. I think I'm just going to give this computer away.
I'm going to go up there right now and see if they have one.
Okay, yeah.
And what's his name?
Because of the age of the computer, it'd be Windows 10 up to date, Windows 10 Home that's on it.
They might be able to get a monitor at the Riscotti Thrift Store.
Yeah, yep, that's true. Good. Yeah, and I can provide a keyboard and mouse for it, too. It'd be in English, but yeah.
Well, they'll have to learn English.
Yeah. They won't have any problem with it. They're probably very familiar with
Thank
it being in English.
Signed off.
I have not signed off. Is there any last questions? This looks like it. And you guys have been great. You stayed till the end. I appreciate that. I hate walking out of here lonely. I am Scott Stimson again from International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for solutions, technical solutions anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me. You can email me, scott@internationalcs.net. You can visit my bogus website at internationalcs.net and find out what the peso is, maybe, if that's working today. If you enjoyed our meeting and are interested in more, you can find us as a podcast or on YouTube. Check out our blog at sccclub.org. Search for us on your favorite podcast catcher like iTunes, the San Carlos Computer Club. Or you can look for us on YouTube at the San Carlos Computer Club or San Carlos, no, what is it? SCCClub.org on YouTube. So there you go. Copies of these videos and audio. And that's it. Until next Tuesday, tech on. Oh, I got to hit the stop button. There we go. Stop. Stop. And everybody out there in audio land, stop.